Today's scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, reading from verses 24 to 34. No one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The heading for verses 25 to 34 reminds us, do not be anxious. Verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Verse 28. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer first before we begin, okay? Yeah, the Heavenly Father, Father, we just want to thank you once again for Pentecost, for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit on that day, some 2,000 years ago, and the work of the Holy Spirit all through the ages and in our life today. So, Lord, today, even as we are here to listen to your word, we ask that you will open our ears, Lord, and our eyes to see you, Lord, and to hear from you. May that be a message that you speak to each one of us here this morning. We pray and we commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, how many of you remember this movie, which made its first debut? I believe it was in 1998. But since then, there has been two other sequels, Money No Enough 2 and Money No Enough 3. Remember or not? Yeah. And money no enough, right, has also come to be a phrase that Singaporeans like to use, lah. Even if it's in jest, right? Ayah, money no enough, lah. Cannot, lah. You know? Yeah. Friends, perhaps you are feeling today a little bit like money no enough. Or perhaps it might be the other spectrum, crazy rich Asians. Anybody here want to admit that you are crazy rich Asians? Okay. But no matter, right? If you are feeling like money no enough or crazy rich Asian, I think we can all agree that money is something important and relevant to all of us. In fact, it is a daily necessity, right? Especially living in urban Singapore, where money becomes immediately relevant the minute you step out of the house, starting from that EZ-Link card that gets many of us from point A to point B. We cannot escape the necessity of money. And we all have some kind of relationship with money, but the question is, what kind? Jesus says, you cannot serve God and money. And the original word here for money is from the Aramaic term, mammonas, which can be translated also as treasure or riches, or as money, which we find in our ESV translation, or sometimes left in its transliterated form, untranslated form, mammon, as in the King James Version. So Jesus says, you cannot serve both God and money or treasure or riches, you cannot serve God and mammon. I at this point, I kind of feel like I don't want to give out this opportunity to say this, that if you happen to hear a preacher who persistently and consistently, and I would say even relentlessly, preaches that God's highest purpose for you this side of eternity is to make you rich, also known as prosperity gospel, right? Then I think it would be wise for us to evaluate such teachings against our Lord's words here. You cannot serve God and riches, Jesus says. And in fact, earlier on in this same passage, Jesus says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. We will look at this passage a little bit more later, but for now, let's go back to that first question that I had asked. What is your relationship with money? Do you pursue money and riches more than you pursue God? Does money control the decisions you make in life more than God does? What place does money hold in your life? We began our scripture reading today actually from verse 24, right? But the main passage that we would like to look at is actually from Matthew 6, 25 to 34. And as Brandon had said, right? And thank you, Brandon, for reading the scripture, that the title, there's actually a title there, which is Do Not Be Anxious. But why did we start reading from verse 24? And it is because of this little conjunctive adverb, right? Therefore, which in Singlish, what do you think it can be translated as? To me, I would say it's so ha, right? So if I tell you so ha means something had gone on before, right? Yeah, and as so ha or therefore indicate a progression of idea. So what had gone on before, before Jesus got to this point, was his teaching about money. And we had looked at a couple of verses earlier on, but let's look at the passage more fully. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then the passage goes on to end with Jesus' concluding remark. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So it was only after Jesus had said this that we come to our passage today, do not be anxious. Because if money is a necessity, then understandably, we all can be worried and anxious about the lack of money, right? And in this passage, Jesus mentioned some basic necessities. Things like food, drinks, clothes, things that typically we need money to buy, actually. But Jesus says, do not be anxious about them, but instead we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, all these things shall be added unto you. But friends, I don't know if you think that this is an easy thing to do, to put aside worries, to pursue God and to trust him to provide for all our needs. Humanly speaking, it may not be an easy thing to do, right? This is where I believe our passage today offers us some help, as Jesus gives us three truths to anchor our trust in God. Three truths that I believe, when we grasp them, when we really take them in, you know, to our soul and our spirit, will enable us to put our trust in God more deeply and to follow God more wholeheartedly. And they are to remember that your very life itself is from God, and to know that your Heavenly Father cares deeply for you, and thirdly, to rest assured that God will walk with you into your future. Okay, the first truth that helps anchor our trust in God is to remember that our very life itself is from God. God is the source of our life. Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Do not worry about your life, L-I-F-E. Yeah? Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? You know, friends, in life, we want many things, right? There are many things that we would like to have. And some of them are valid and legitimate, and they include basic necessities, such as food, clothing, housing, transportation, and like I said earlier, even a mobile phone also lah. Because I consider mobile phone a basic necessity. How many of you here do the same? Do you consider mobile phone a basic necessity? I know some kids there just raise up their hands. So, nevertheless, even before we think about all these things that we think we can't live without, let us remember that if we do not have life itself, we do not have anything, right? And our very life itself is from God, and it is given to us by our Creator. And I think if we just make it a habit to meditate on this truth, to have a deep awareness of this, it will help us to always keep God as our first priority and our first reference point. So, brothers and sisters, how often do we stop to give thanks to our Creator God, right? Just if nothing else, you know, just thanking Him for this life that He has given us, right? Every morning we wake up. Perhaps for those of us who are growing older, and I include myself in this category, right? And we do think about such thing a bit more, right? I know I do. So I shared, right? It's like sometimes I will do this imaginary exercise of me lying on my deathbed. If I get to, you know, be on the deathbed in the first place. Yeah, but when you get to that moment and that day, what will be the things that will concern me, right? I ask, will it be, you know, this or that or that? Or will I be looking to the one who started my first heartbeat, you know, you would say, the one who holds my every breath and who alone determines my very last breath? Right? Who will be my priority then? And in view of that, who shall be my priority now? And I think the answer is clear, to me at least. And I thank my Creator God for this life that is gifted me every single day. But of course, we don't just wait until we are old to truly appreciate this life that God has given me, right? The writer of Ecclesiastes tells us, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember your Creator, whether you are old or you are young. And by the way, just want to say that I just realized in June, right? So we do have our TE and children here with us. So that's a wonderful thing. So for the young people, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember that He's the one who gives us life. He's the source of your life. But you know, sadly, there are many in this world who do not know the Creator. And they are living life as portrayed here. Too self-sufficient to think about God. Too happy to think about God. Life is good right now. No time for God. Too young to think about God. Yeah, young people, this is never true. Too tired to think about God. Too busy to think about God. And sadly, perhaps one day, it might be too late to think about God. Jesus says, for the Gentiles seek after all these things, money, riches, wealth, and often doing so without knowledge nor regard for their Creator. But Jesus says, your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Your Heavenly Father. And here, Jesus highlights the relationship that you and I have with God. Not only is He our Creator, He is also our Heavenly Father through our faith in Jesus Christ. And the book of Romans tells us, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? So not only has God given us our physical life, but he has also given us our eternal life through the sacrifice of his son on the cross. A profound truth, I think, that we can meditate. Yeah, maybe even right now, just to meditate that in that for a moment. No? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? So when we are anxious and worried, let us think of this, right? Let's reflect on this. And may we learn to trust and depend on the one who is the source and the giver of our life. And may we hold on to the strong hands of our Creator and Redeemer and draw comfort and confidence, right? Even as with the word of Simon Peter here in John 6:68, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. God, our source of life. God, our priority. God, the one we run to always, right? Because he loves us. And the second truth to anchor our trust in God is to know, okay, that your Heavenly Father cares deeply for you. And here Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Are you not of more value than they? Will he not much more clothe you? So in this passage, Jesus uses a form of argument here. It's in Latin. I believe it's pronounced ad maiore ad minus, which means from greater to lesser. A form of argument where if something is true for a greater case, then it must also be true for a lesser case. So for example, an argument based on common sense reasoning would be, if a person can lift 100 pounds, they can also lift 50 pounds, right? So drawing from nature and using this form of argument, Jesus emphasizes that if God takes care of nature's smaller needs, he will surely take care of human needs. If God provides for the birds, a lesser case, he will certainly provide for you a greater case. And if God beautifully clothes grass, which has little value and a short lifespan, then he will certainly clothe his people who have much greater value. So in this way, Jesus seeks to reassure his disciples of God's deep care and sure provision. And in fact, we have already seen this argument right from the beginning of our sharing today in verse 25, when Jesus said, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And also in Romans, right? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? That Jesus, the incarnational Godhead, should go to the extent of dying on the cross to save our souls. Are we still doubting his care and provision? What a demonstration of the love of our Heavenly Father. And perhaps for those of you who are fathers here, Father's Day is coming up, I think. Yeah. Fathers, or perhaps even just parents, how much do you care for your child? Jesus says in Matthew, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to good things to those who ask him? Amen. But nevertheless, it may be that some of you here did not have good experience growing up, experience of your father growing up, and perhaps he had been a distant father or perhaps even, you know, worst of cases, abusive, and perhaps because of your negative experiences with your earthly father, and today you may be struggling to experience the love of your heavenly father, right? But may I encourage you that if you feel that way, that you find someone, a trusted brother or sister, to pray with you, right? Because or even at the end of service, you could come up and receive prayers. Because today, I hope we will know just how deeply our Heavenly Father cares for us, and may that be the anchor of your confident trust as you journey on by faith with God, knowing that your Heavenly Father, you have a loving Heavenly Father who holds your hand. And the third truth is, that anchors our trust in God is that we can rest assured that God will walk with us into our future. God holds our future in His hands. So three times in this passage, in verses 21, 31, 25, 31, and 34, we see Jesus saying, do not be anxious. But interestingly also, every time Jesus says, do not be anxious, He precedes His statement by, again, that conjunctive adverb, therefore. So actually, Jesus is giving us reasons why we do not need to worry. Because our faith is not blind faith, it is a reasonable faith. So let me say that our Christian faith is a reasonable faith. Amen? And there really shouldn't be a dichotomy between reasons, intellect, and our heart devotion. In fact, we are invited to consider, like Jesus said, consider, ponder, meditate, study. So don't be afraid of studying the Word of God, right? Because actually, in fact, the more we exercise our intellect, the deeper should be our heart devotion. No dichotomy between truth and heart devotion, right? So and it is a reasonable faith. It is not Hakuna Matata. Okay, you all know this, right? And what does it mean? No worries for the rest of your days. It's a problem-free philosophy, right? But Jesus is not talking about Hakuna Matata. He is giving us solid reasons why trust is in fact the most natural, wisest, and the most reasonable option, even in the midst of life's storms and difficulties. And as we have seen, Jesus is trying to tell us why. It is because, first of all, our life is from God and is completely dependent on God to begin with. And not only is He our Creator, He is also our Redeemer and our Heavenly Father who cares deeply for us. Not only today, but also in the future. Jesus says, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his life, span of life? Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We are called to live one day at a time, take one step at a time, trusting in God moment by moment. So friends, have you learned to live in trust like this? Or is your life driven by worries and anxious anxiety? You know, worry can be defined as a state of mental distress or unease caused by concern about a potential problem or something with an uncertain outcome. And it often involves repetitive anxious thoughts about future events or situations that a person perceives as threatening or challenging. It has also been said that worrying does not take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace. And Charles Spurgeon says, anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. Good to think about that. But perhaps even knowing this, right, you are still struggling and you can't seem to stop worrying. What then can you do? What is the antidote to worry? And here, may I submit to you that trust is the antidote to worry. As the psalmist declares in Psalm 56:3, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Trust not based on blind faith, not Hakuna Matata, not just any easy, you know, happy-go-lucky and just, you know, or generate from yourself or something. But trust, my friends, based on the solidly revealed Word of God. This reasonable faith that we have, remembering that God holds our life in His hands, remembering that Christ died for us. What a demonstration of God's love. And knowing that the Heavenly Father cares so deeply for His children, for you and for me. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And in 1 Peter 5:7, we read, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And to do so, each time anxiety and cares arise, because we have seen, right, how anxiety can be a repetitive thought pattern and can keep on coming at us, but every time we turn to God. In our time of anxiety, we keep our eyes on God through continuous prayers, turning to our Heavenly Father and trusting in His love and care for us. Not only in our present, but also in our future. Hear the word of the Lord, hear the word of God to His people in Isaiah. Oops. Even to your old age, I am He. And to grey hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and will save. Because some of us, we may be anxious about our present situation right now. You may be going through a difficult time. And you need to bring that to the Lord, your anxiety to the Lord. But some of you are anxious over the future. The uncertainties. Perhaps it could be health. It could be finance. It could be the fear of a loss of our loved ones. But no matter what lies ahead, God promises to walk with us into our future. As Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. God knows our future, He knows our days, and He holds our life in His hands. And nothing will happen to us that will be out of God's foreknowledge and expectations. I pray, my friend, that this too will be an anchor for your trust in God, knowing that God promises to go with us into our future. No matter how young or how old you are, you know, if you're old, it's you may think, yeah, what are my remaining days? No? But if you are young, you will have your whole life ahead of you. But no matter, God promises to walk with us into our future, no matter how young or how old. You know, as I bring this sermon to a close, I would like to share with you a little bit of my personal journey. Because today's sermon is actually an open topic. So basically, I get to choose which passage I want to share. So as I thought about what to share, this passage came to mind, not least because it is one of my favorite Bible passages growing up. But another reason is also because it has come to be quite personal, as a reflection somewhat of my own personal journey of faith and trust in God. Because it was back in 1996, long time ago, some people at E1 after that told me they added up and try to work out my age. You can also. Yeah. So it was back in 1996 that I was standing at a crossroad. I was 29 years old then. Okay, you can take out your calculator. And several years before that, quite many years before that, actually, as a 16-year-old teenager, I had dedicated my life to serve God full time during a Campus Crusade for Christ camp. But it was only actually 13 years later in 1996 that the door was opened for me for full-time ministry when I joined SJSM staff team. So sometimes, you know, God guides slowly also lah. Because sometimes we are in a hurry. And I can think of even Joseph in the dungeon back in Genesis. Yeah, it takes, I think for him also maybe it was 13 years if I'm not wrong. But yeah, sometimes we're in a hurry. But you know, sometimes God works and guides slowly but surely. Yeah. So convinced of God's will, back in 1996, I attended my 1996 going on to 1997. Yeah, I attended my resignation at my last job and then accepted the position in SJSM. And all this I had done not knowing how much financial support I was going to get lah. Because back in those days, there was no HR department. Yeah. But I remember looking at some of the older pastoral staff, people like Laura, today you know her as Deaconess Laura, or Godwin, my brother, today you know him as Pastor Godwin. And then back then, I thought to myself, we were all much younger then. Yeah. If they can survive, I think I should be able to. And I remember during this, I don't know what I'm going to get paid period, right? I had gone shopping for clothes with my sister in KL. And I remember telling her that I'm only going to choose denim skirts or jeans because they last longer. Yeah. But after 28 years in full-time ministry, I want to say that I have definitely been blessed with more than a few denim skirts or jeans. Okay, there's nothing extravagant, nothing expensive, but nothing lacking. Not just clothing, but in every area of my life. And it is true what they say, it's true for my life, as I testify. God is no man's debtor, and you cannot outgive God. So this has been my own personal journey, but I feel like I want to share this morning, because there might be some of you here who, like me, or perhaps even younger than me when I first stepped into full-time ministry, and you too are standing at a crossroad. God may be asking you to go in a certain direction and to step out in faith, but you have done some calculations and you are wondering, will I be all right? Will it be all right? Will I have enough? And sometimes from a human perspective, the sum don't always add up, right? But let me share with you a quote that has guided me in life, which I think also very aptly captures what Jesus is teaching here. And the saying is this, when we take care of God's business, He takes care of ours. So, friends, if you have been seeking God, and you have been seeking His guidance, and you have discerned God's will, may I just say that when God's guidance is sure, His will is clear, we can take a leap of trustful, as it were, right? Because waiting to catch us is the unfailing strong arms of our Heavenly Father. So let us hear again Jesus' words. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Today, I don't know how you were feeling when you woke up this morning, right? Whether you are anxious about the uncertainty ahead, what's ahead, or fear of future, but whatever your situation is, and whatever you may be feeling, may we look to our Heavenly Father. As the worship team leads us in this song, we say that it is a oldie, yeah, but let us draw strength and encourage from the truths that we have looked at this morning and from the words of this well-loved song, well-loved oldie. Thank you, Priscilla and team.